Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I want to talk about Musk versus Must. So class, last week we had a vacations episode where we were talking about Parisian Musk because Fran's an idiot. And then we got to in this text going back and forth, this text chain saying, talk about Musk versus Must. What's the difference?
I think that we decided that like when you are musty, it smells bad. You know what I mean? Like think of a young teenager who hasn't figured out that they need deodorant every day. That
right,
is
right.
Musty. And then
right.
Musk. Wait, I wish I had my phone. You called it crotch.
Wait.
Pheromone. I got it right here. You said, and I said those crotch moments.
You said musk is a funny word. And I said, it's so close to must, as in musty. One letter changes a whole experience. And she said, musty is deaf bad. Musk is smelly, but kind of hot. I said, musky is that delicious crotch funk. That shit is funny. That shit is funny.
Musk. No.
Wait, and then I said, musty is that end of the day armpit funk. And she goes, not crotch funk. She said, please, melty emoji face. You nasty. And I said, you know exactly what I mean. Fran said, I hate that I know exactly what you mean.
You know, when you've been getting in on and you leave, this is what always happens. You leave to go get some water and then you come back in the room and you're like, oh, God.
That sex funk in the air.
You are like, yo, somebody was fucking in here.
Yo. And it's like, it's not even a bad smell. It's just like, no. Yo, what happened in here? What is happening here? Oh, my God.
Okay, I am so mad because I really did my makeup because I have an audition after this. And I'm crying. But also, what made me laugh really hard was when you said crotch pheromones. And I said, crotch moans. The crotch is moaning. The crotch got the pheromones going.
With the double entendre, right? The crotch,
yes.
The crotch moans got you moaning.
Yes, she's a writer. I love that our texts are so fucking funny. Like, we will be texting and I will be on the couch or I'll be out in the world. Don't let me be texting DeLon when I'm supposed to be paying attention, because I will be cackling over my phone.
Dying.
Okay, wait. God, so. DeLon, 5 points. Name the musical artist responsible for this lyric. What else should I be? All apology.
I think it's also like she, you know, this bitch loves an impression. She could give you an impression. Why only? Did you say it's how many points
five
do I
points.
Get for this?
5 points.
I'm like, I'm only worth 5 points.
No, that's the song lyric is worth 5 points.
All right.
Do you want me to do it again?
I mean, just jump it into the game. Could you put on some lube? Could you spit on it first? Damn. Could you buy me some dinner?
Ew,
I don't know.
Spit on it.
Who is this? I don't know.
Okay, the correct answer is Nirvana. You now have negative 5 points.
Oh, shit. All
five
apologies.
Points.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. I object to negative 5 points. I think that should be given more points, though. Sorry.
No, you got it. You got it wrong. So you don't get to make demands about the game because you're a loser. Okay. Okay. Next lyric for 10 points. Sorry, I ain't sorry.
I ain't sorry.
Nigga, now you wanna say I'm sorry. Now you wanna call me crying.
We got it. Beyonce.
I don't care about it. And that's exactly what you get. Stop interrupting my grinding.
Beyonce, she done messed up your whole song.
Okay, you were correct, Beyonce. But because you gave me attitude, I'm only giving you 5 points.
Shut up. You're such an asshole. Okay, what's the next question?
You currently have 0 points.
You gave me 5 points.
Yes, but you had -5. And then when you add 5.
I can't stand you.
That's 0. Okay. Final lyrics for 20 points.
Oh, okay.
No, you...
It was the eye. It was the eye half closed is what it was. Oh my God.
I'm so pissed about my makeup. Okay, ready?
No, you apologize.
I can't look at you while I do it.
I'm letting you mean to. You sound like a cassette tape that's been slowed down. What the fuck?
I apologize. Yes, I understand true.
What is that?
I'm crying.
Because you are. She's I love that she's committed though. She's still going.
So I sing a song. No drama ever.
Is this a delayed Toni Braxton?
No, it's Anita Baker.
No, it's not. No, it's not. No, it ain't. That ain't no Anita.
Do you see that I was crying while I was trying to do that impression? You know what? It is Anita Baker, and you got it wrong, and you talk shit about me, so that's -20 points for you, which brings you to -20. Sorry, Delon, you lose.
I ain't sorry.
Oh, my God.
Ooh. Wait. No.
Listen. Wait.
I hate you for that.
Let me fix it. Welcome back to Let Me Fix It, the podcast that says, baby, I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. Maybe I'm sorry. I'm Francesca Ramsey. I'm an actress, a producer, a writer, and former graphic designer.
Yes, welcome back to Let Me Fix It Class, the podcast that says, I'm sorry, Mr. Jackson. Ooh, I am for real. I'm Delon Grant. I'm an actor, a singer, a photographer, and a writer. And as you can probably tell from Fran's completely unhinged game, this week we are tackling apologies. Fran, apologies have kind of become part of your brand. I mean, she wrote a whole damn song about it. Okay, TikTok. Mm-hmm. How did that happen? How the heck did that happen? Tell the class.
It started about 10 years ago. I got called out for a sketch I'd done on YouTube, and it was really a pivotal moment for me. It was super uncomfortable, and I was super defensive, but I did what I do best. I made a video out of it called Getting Called Out, How to Apologize. Now, of course, my initial reaction was to get defensive. I was like, what are you talking about? I'm a transphobic. What does that even mean? I have friends that are trans. I didn't mean it that way. It's just a joke. You're taking this too personally. I did all of the things that you're not supposed to do. So it said, I stopped and I listened. And they explained that if you're trans, having people try to figure out what your gender is like a daily battle. And it's not really fun, and it's super rude. And making a video that encourages that and kind of makes a game or something funny out of questioning someone's gender is basically encouraging people to participate in that type of behavior. And that's really, really bad, especially when you consider the fact that there are trans people who are regularly assaulted and murdered because people are trying to question and figure out how they identify. So once this was brought to my attention, I was like, you're right. I'm so sorry. Didn't need to talk about what my intent was or why I did it. Instead, I just said, wow, I'm really sorry. I'm really gonna make sure that I don't do that again. Thanks for bringing that to my attention. The video was like a moderate hit. I think it has a little under 500,000 views, but it's been shown all over in classrooms, trainings, mentorship
programs. We watched it
for this
episode, and even rewatching it, I was like, not only to see a younger version of you, which my heart was like,
baby Fran,
go. Yeah, it was so sweet, but also like there's just an earnestness and a guilelessness and also like, hey guys, right, let's do this together, whatever adjective that is so beautiful and welcoming. And I think that's why it's been such a strong, functional, really positive part of your brand, you know?
Yeah, that video, I really had no idea, but it has really opened a lot of doors for me and started so many great conversations. And it really started my obsession with apologies, because I'm really just fascinated by how you can say so much by saying so little, and how there are like certain trends in public apologies. So I was curious, you know, after seeing that video and how we've talked about apologies on this show, and it's something that we always talk about, you know, offline. Have you seen any trends in apologies that have stuck out to you?
I mean, we've talked about this one, the acknowledge, I think, and that's one that you've kind of like put in the forefront, which, you know, I think an acknowledge is very much like, that's why it's a portmanteau. I acknowledge that you feel something, I'm not sorry about it, right?
No, I'm sorry you feel that way.
I'm sorry you feel that way. Well, and I said this on Bad Apologies episodes on the pod before. It just feels like a PR move, right? It feels like, you know, it became too hot. It became too hot of a topic.
You have to say something.
Too hot of a take. You have to say something, right? But the notes apology is something, the notes app apology is something I want us to really talk about, because what do you think of the notes app apology? Because I have some strong opinions about it.
I have mixed feelings about it. I think putting out a statement, I don't think is a bad thing, but something about typing it up on your phone and taking a screenshot feels like you're not taking it seriously. It feels like you were riding in the Uber on the way to the show and you were like, let me take care of this shit, versus sitting down with your team and really planning out a thoughtful response and putting out a press release, so to speak. I'm also of the mind that whatever it is that you've been called out for, you need to match the same energy. So like made a song or something and people are calling you out for the song, a notes app just feels like it doesn't like rise to the occasion of like something you said publicly or you put in your work. It feels like, I don't know, And maybe this is because I've yet to see a good notes app apology, but it just, I don't know, it doesn't feel sincere.
It feels removed for me, right? It feels like by you sitting down in front of a camera and actually talking, I mean, despite not having clarity of thought per se, it just doesn't feel like purposeful. It doesn't feel on purpose. It feels like somebody forced you to do it, kind of like an acknowledge. But as somebody who deals better with like having an opportunity to process and like actually write and then, you know, to have clarity of thought therein, I'm not mad at it, because it allows you to just like be clear about what you're thinking and not stumble over things and really make points, right?
Yeah.
Because I would rather have you put up a notes app than like pull a Drew Barrymore and read from a teleprompter.
Okay, and here's where you and I might see this differently. I'm okay with you reading from a teleprompter. I would rather you acknowledge that you're reading from a teleprompter. I'd rather you say, just so you guys know, I wrote this down because I really want to make sure that I'm clear. Okay.
I totally accept that.
And I had some help, right? Versus Drew Barrymore was reading, but she said she wasn't. She was like, no one helped me.
Oh, wait, she
this.
Did? She said she wasn't reading?
She said, I'm coming to you off the cuff. No one has helped me with this. And then she's looking off to the side and clearly reading. And again, I don't think there's anything wrong with a prepared statement. I personally would rather you prepare a statement so you don't start rambling. So many times people start giving this feedback.
That's where I would fall.
Exactly. And they don't know how to edit, right? And they're too caught up in their feelings, and which is valid, but personally, I love a bulleted list so that you're not like scripted. It's more like, here are some things I want to hit versus this is coming from the heart, but it's clearly scripted. Like you got to pick one or the other.
Well, and one of the things, I mean, to conflate things, one of the things I love that we do is, like, you know, class, we are talking off the cuff here, but a lot of this is written down, as we said. We're not hiding it. We've planned this, you know?
No, and we have, and again, we've also figured out our style over the course of working on this, where we have some parts are like very scripted. We need to get names and dates correct. And then other times we have bullet points because it's like, here are some ideas that we want to talk over. And we kind of weave in and out. And I think, you know, again, when it comes to making a public statement, whether it's an apology or a TED talk, or, you know, you're giving remarks at a funeral, I think a good mix of both helps. Something to keep you on track, and then room for you to improvise and put your own sauce on it. So today we are going to dig into some sorries from different celebrities, brands, comedians, and even a few podcast hosts. And then after we recap each story, we will both pitch how we would fix these apologies. So let's dive in. All apologies. Let me fix it.
Ha, 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 ha. First up, we've got rapper and professional troll Lil Nas X. So in January 2024, just this month, Lil Nas X announced J. Christ as the first single off of his yet-to-be-released sophomore album. Leading up to the release, he has been trolling real hard on social media, posting clips of himself partying with the sacrament, aka the communion wine and wafers, dressed as Jesus, and even posting an acceptance letter from a Christian college saying he'd been admitted for biblical studies in the fall. That's trolling real hard. I mean, the acceptance letter, you're doing a lot. You're doing the most.
He's so clever. I mean, you have to hand it to him. Like, that was just taking it another step further. So the music video for J. Christ has racked up about 13 million views. And as usual, the imagery is provocative as hell, pun intended. So let's go ahead and take a look.
You know what I love? I love that he has all these, like, lookalikes.
Lookalikes?
These celebrity lookalikes.
Yeah, I think that's supposed to be Oprah. Pretty. This Obama is weird looking.
Obama, yeah. Yeah. Bust down chain that was 30 beats. I mean, he better get it. He better get it.
He is so... Okay, wait. He's also wearing my crown.
He is wearing your crown. Not Michael Jackson's ass in there. The fake Michael. That shit wasn't quiet, yeah. Now I'm on fire,
yeah. I'm finna take it high, yeah. Okay, let him slide, yeah. He looks good, though. I like the hair.
He looks fantastic. The hat, the hair's laid, the nails, everything. I'm just saying this, though. Remember when he told us he was... I mean, I don't want... poo-poo anybody's gender, but I'm like, you out here doing this, you're doing the most, sir. You are giving me gay, gay, gay.
Oh, I mean, I don't think he's ever hidden that he is gayer than a $3 bill, but it does feel, I don't know, we'll get into it, but something that I thought when I was watching this is that the editing feels, I don't know, like too overdone. Like, it's, does that make sense? Like the people almost look like cardboard cutouts. Like, it just, it feels very green screen, which I'm sure it was, but, and maybe that's like a creative decision to make it look like
that. Well, because wasn't Call Me By Your Name, Call Me By Your Name had the same kind of feel, like very green screeny, very like cartoony, you know?
Cartoony, overly processed. And again, maybe that's the goal, but personally, I don't love it. Let's watch up to the chorus. Is he up to something? Only I know. Is he about to hit him with the What do you think?
The music just isn't hitting for me. The music isn't hitting because it sounds like everything else he's ever written. And the music production, the song is not that interesting for me.
Yeah, I think I have similar thoughts. I feel like the video is trying a little bit too hard and the imagery feels recycled. As we remember, there was the pole dancing Satan in Call Me By Your Name.
Right.
He's like, you know, he is Satan in that video. Satan appears in this one. He's also Jesus. The other thing that I noted was that the beat sounds so similar to Kendrick Lamar's Humble.
I remember syrup sandwiches and crime allowances, Vanessa nigga with some counterfeits, but now I'm counting.
That's like dun 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 dun. And then I went back and I looked at the video because I was like, let me just see, am I imagining this? And in the Humble video, Kendrick is dressed like the Pope. There's also a scene where he's doing the Last Supper. And I was like, is this a knockoff of Humble or is it a response to Humble? Like Kendrick saying, be humble. And Lil Nas X is like, I'm Jesus Christ. I don't know. Like, I'm not humble.
Oh,
like,
you know. Well, listen, you better knit a sweater. You better weave a tale. Okay. She really was trying to put some narratives together there. I mean, I'll push back because I rewatched Humble for this and I was like, yo, the Humble is the fucking jam. It is the fucking jam.
It's so good.
And I forget who directed it, but it's at the beginning credits of Humble. The director of it is listed. And it's just 10 times better of a video than Lil Nas is doing. So, I mean, maybe it's an homage to Humble, but I appreciate your knitting the sweater of that.
Yeah. And I don't think that the music video itself is like directly responding to it. It's more of that like piano combined with the beat.
Yeah. The bass.
Boom, sounds,
boom, 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 boom.
It sounds so similar to Kendrick's song.
Well, you know, the music industry has been thieving and stealing since inception. So I wouldn't be shocked. So despite Lil Nas's antics, the song hasn't made much of a splash on the Billboard charts. Clearly, I don't think it should either because I don't like it that much. But it has drawn the ire of many Christians online. His IG posts and Twitter mentions are filled with people going off. In a statement to Fox News, Christian rapper Bryson Gray, who the hell are you, denounced the images of Lil Nas X dressed as Jesus and called on other Christians to publicly condemn him. Here's a quote, quote, I think that he is mocking Christianity. He's mocking Christ. That's why he uses Christian imagery to do it. End quote.
So,
what are your thoughts?
I mean, yes, that is what he's doing.
totally.
I mean, not me agreeing with this nobody. I don't know who this man is, but that is what Lil Nas X is doing. It's very obvious. He's on the cross. He's got a crown of thorns on. I mean, he's playing basketball with the devil in heaven. dead celebs.
I feel like mocking is like, y'all, he's mocking it? Or is he using the imagery that is just pervasive in American culture and in the world?
I mean, I would say, why not both? I mean, I think he's obviously poking fun, right? Like, it's supposed to be funny to see him as Jesus, especially because he is an openly gay man. It does feel like he's kind of thumbing his nose, especially because there are a lot of people, Christian of all backgrounds, but especially Christian Black people, that have been critical of Lil Nas X. You know, he kissed a man on stage at an award show, and there were people that, I think it was at BET, and then BET would not premiere one of his videos, so he made a song called Fuck BET. Again, not a great song, but you know, he got the message across. And so obviously it seems to me like he is doing this in response to the criticism that he's gotten throughout his career. He ended up firing off a bunch of defensive tweets before posting a video to his Instagram captioned, wanted to get something off of my chest. So let's go ahead and roll that beautiful bean footage.
Hello, everybody. I wanted to...
Not in the bonnet.
Not necessarily...
really taking it seriously.
I wanted to explain like where my head at and where it's been for like the last week. So first of all, when I did the artwork, I knew like there would be some upset people or whatnot, simply because, you know, religion is a very sensitive topic for a lot of people. But I also didn't mean to like mock. This wasn't like a fuck you to you people, fuck you to the Christians. Like, you know, it was not that. It was literally me saying, oh, I'm back like Jesus. Like, that was like the whole thing. I'm not the first person to dress up as Jesus. I'm not the first rapper. I'm not the first artist. And I won't be the last.
He's not wrong.
And I know, like, given my history with, you know, the Call Me By Your Name video, anything that I do related to religion can be seen as like mockery. That just was not the case with this.
I'm sorry, the pacing around is really weird.
Well,
right?
I guess he's talking on to the video, but I'm like, where is he going? He's just walking around a room.
I'm dizzy. Yeah. It feels, again, the thing that we were talking about before about notes app versus a video, this does feel very off the cuff, and maybe that was the point, but it feels insincere, especially because he's like, it's not an apology, I just wanted to say, and he's pacing around. The video is 4 minutes long. We are not going to watch all
no,
four
and
minutes.
He also says, in the video, he says several times, what else did I want to say? And I was like, you should have planned out what you wanted to say.
And or edit that part out. Like, you are a social media maven. He's so good at social media. I know he knows how to edit a video clip together. He also does say in the video that he did want to apologize for, you know, eating the sacrament because people felt like that was insinuating cannibalism.
I don't understand that, because when y'all go to church, you are eating the same sacrament. You are eating the body and the blood of Christ. So who's calling it cannibalism and stuff out here? Y'all are what?
Yeah,
y'all are taking
it's really
it so
strange.
Far.
He says, I thought the video was going to lighten the mood. I thought it was something we all wanted to do as kids. I didn't understand the reality of what it is. It's me eating communion, which is the symbolism of Jesus's blood and bones or something like that. I don't remember completely.
How you gonna use the imagery? They'd be like, bones.
I don't know what you weirdos believe in. Whatever y'all think. I didn't mean it as cannibalism thing or whatever the freak. I do apologize for that. Whatever the freak. That really doesn't sound like you're apologizing. So, Dawn, was this an apology?
Well, so, despite him saying it's not an apology, I think the act of doing it actually is an apology. Mm-hmm. I'm not giving him any cookies, but like, it feels like damage control. Things just got a little too hot, you know. I do think he misses part of the equation though, right? In our other bad apologies episode, I said, like, it's acknowledging the harm done and then taking action to rectify it, right?
Yeah.
He's missing that second piece. So like, he's coming on and saying like, y'all were really mad about it, but he's not doing anything to change it, right? So I think it fails there in terms of actually being an apology. I also, did it work? I mean, I don't think he needed to apologize. To your point about him being a troll, like, that was the whole point of it, to get attention, to get people talking.
That was the whole point. I feel the same way. Like, I'm genuinely surprised. At first, when I heard about this apology, I was like, is it climate change or is it a cold day in hell? Because I would never think that Lil Nas X would apologize for a music video, because he is always trolling. And it's so strange because he says, like, I didn't mean to. Yes, you did. You absolutely meant to piss off Christians. That was the whole point. You got the response that you wanted, okay? I don't know if you remember this, but he put out some 666 Satan shoes at one point where he said
blood. Or was
there
like blood in them? Oh, I do remember.
There was blood
this,
in the shoes. And then, you know, again, him in the Call Me By Your Name video as the pole dancing Satan. Like, this is all about taunting and pissing off Christians. And do not get me wrong. It's not that I think that Christians are above being taunted, especially ones that are pushing homophobia and regressive politics. Okay. You deserve to be dragged. But here's the thing. I think he's trolling with this response, because when I went looking for the backlash, I found more articles about the apology than I did about Christians denouncing him. It's the story. Yeah, the story became Lil Nas X apologizes, and part of me is like,
is it strategery?
Yes, exactly. I know that if I make this big, because again, that Christian rapper said something I've never heard of that man in my life.
Bryson who?
Okay. And that's not to say that's not my music. I don't listen to that. But for example, Lecrae is a well-known Christian rapper. I don't listen to his music, but I know who he is, because he's very popular. So it definitely felt like people piggybacking off of Lil Nas X's name. But I would say more of the response was, this song just feels like recycled. It doesn't feel original versus Christians making a big stink. I did see that the Church of Satan said that they loved the song. They gave it a thumbs up, according to TMZ.
A thumbs up, or was it a fork up? Listen, the other thing I want to say is, just to get on my gay soapbox here, y'all, Christians and religion have been talking about gay people since inception. Y'all have been saying we are an abomination, we're heathens, we should be burned, all these things. So in what world, in what privilege do you think that gay people are not going to push back against that and criticize Christianity and use its imagery to, mock? Do I think that this was mocking? I don't know that that was the intent, but I think it's actually fruitful for us, dare I say, to go, oh no, we now can take up space. We now have a voice to say, no, it's y'all. Because let me tell you, Christians are losing their numbers.
Yeah, the propaganda war is not working. Y'all don't know how to get people in the seats. And
that's what I'm trying.
You're trying all sorts of things. I saw Justin Bieber's priest wearing, leather jackets and skinny jeans.
Well, and didn't he get, there was a whole documentary on him.
He did.
Was it sexual something? Probably with these damn.
He cheated on his wife. And,
always,
and it's that thing of you can't do it, but I can do it. Wanting to pass.
Do as I say,
judgment.
Not as I do.
Exactly. Wanting to pass judgment on every other body while having skeletons in your own closet. And to your point, Delon, it feels like when queer artists or gay artists repurpose Christian imagery in this way, they are poking fun at the hypocrisy. And they're saying, you know what? You're saying that I'm going to hell? Let's go. Let me pussy pop
Let's
on
go.
The devil.
I'm going to take you to hell. Let me take you to my hell. That's what he's doing.
And
y'all were so mad about him being Satan. And then he was like, okay, I'm going to be Jesus now. Y'all are so mad about him being Jesus. Y'all are just mad because he exists. And he's being paid for it. And he is having a message. He's making other people feel safe. Y'all are just mad because people exist. And people can't do anything about that. I can't do anything about that. Nor can Nas X.
Yeah, I would say my fix, I wish he had just said nothing. I wish he had just said nothing.
Yeah.
I will also say I need him to focus on a new gimmick. He's done this. We've seen the Jesus Christian stuff. I'm not saying that it's offensive and I think it's bad. I just think you need a new shtick. You need to figure out a new thing. And especially because songs like this that are about I'm the baddest, I'm da 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 da, it's not relatable. We can't.
Girl, listen, 1999 called. They kind of want their tone back, right?
Yeah, just come because up with that's like new.
Well, and it's kind of built into the rap kind of persona of I'm everything. I mean, suck my dick, suck my pussy, right? It's totally in there. But to your point, there's something about evolving. Take a note from Madonna's book. What is the next? What is, to use Fran 4.0, what is Lil Nas X 2.0? This album should have been that. My fix for him is along those same lines is say something about the culture, I need people out here to start saying stuff about Marsha P. Johnson, who was the first woman to throw the brick through the window at Stonewall. Sylvia Rivera. Talk about Paris is Burning. Where's the song about Paris is Burning? That's gay iconism, if that's how you say that word.
Yeah, and if you listen to his, what I liked about his first album is he does get really personal. He talks about, not talking to his dad and dealing with suicidal ideation and wondering if he's going to make it. There are some some great, really poignant moments in that first album where I felt like, damn, he's really like showing us a new side of him. And maybe he will do that in this new album. But for your first single to really just feel like a retread of stuff you've already done, I'm kind of like, we've seen you do the Christian stuff. Do something else.
Is your dog okay?
Listen.
He was hacking up along. I heard him through the mic.
I didn't even flinch. You saw, I was like, I'm working.
You sure didn't. She said, I'm working, boy. Two other things. I mean, if you look, I want everyone to excuse. Is he all right?
He's fine. Flex. Sure. Yeah, he's fine.
Okay. Just if y'all will excuse my whataboutism for a moment, just because, like, you know, nobody's talking about Bruce Almighty. Where Morgan Freeman where was Jim playing.
But Jim Carrey's in that movie, right?
But yeah, Jim Carrey takes God's powers for like a week or something and does all this crazy shit. And I guess because there's like a, you know, an allegory to it, like Jim Carrey's character learns something in the end. Jennifer Aniston's just there being Jennifer Aniston. Nobody really, where was the pushback against that? There's another movie coming out called Not Another Church Movie, which is making fun of Tyler Perry deep.
No, I have not seen this.
Jamie Foxx plays Jesus. And I'm like, where are the people pissed about that? You know? Because it's the same iconism and imagery to poke fun, to make a joke, to make mockery of, right?
Yeah. And listen, that's what Lil Nas X said in his like, so quote unquote apology. He's not the first person to play Jesus in a music video. He will not be the last. I think about Madonna when she did Like a Prayer. The Christians were very upset about that. Mm-hmm. I don't remember people being upset when Lady Gaga did Alejandro. There's a lot of religious imagery in that video. Maybe we're just in our own little bubbles and people are pissed about it. But I think your point is relevant in that I think if people are upset, because again, I think it's questionable how upset people were, but I think overall the reason people have been upset in the past is that Lil Nas X is a loud and proud gay man. And that's what they're more upset about.
That's what they're mad about.
It's not just the Christianity thing. It's like, you're an abomination. You're going against God. And then you're thumbing your nose. How dare you not
be somewhere in a crevice somewhere living your life? You're living out and proud.
Yes, you are not supposed to be happy and doing something that I think is morally reprehensible. You're not allowed to do those things. You could do it in the shadows or, you know, because listen, y'all ain't got shit to say when the priests are molesting children.
Don't get me started.
But then if you are happy and gay, we got to shut that down. You know what I mean?
All right.
So it's a little bit of that.
Yeah.
Next up on our apologies list, we've got Joe Coy. Now, Delon, a few weeks ago, you bravely disclosed that you are a Joe Coy fan.
Why do you say bravely like it's a bad thing?
Because they were dragging his ass, and I didn't know that anybody was going to stand up and say, I volunteer as tribute. I love Joe Coy.
Wait. Play the tape back. I don't know if I say love now.
You said you were a fan. I was surprised. So please tell me more. I did not really know who this man was. I had seen some billboards for a movie that he was in, but I could not tell you anything about his comedy before he did this Golden Globe stint and got all this backlash. So when did you become a fan?
So I love watching stand-up on streaming platforms. So Joe Coy, he's a stand-up comedian who has 6 specials between Netflix and Comedy Central, respectively. And his best comedy, in my opinion, is identity comedy, centered around him being Filipino, half Filipino and half white. And his funniest moments for me are when he has his mom. He's just playing his mom, right? Mm-hmm. There's a really funny clip of his mom, him playing his mom when she's roasting him over not being able to find his keys. I think we should like watch a little bit of it because you'll see how funny it is.
Yeah.
He's a comedian, so not everything is for everybody, right? But for me, this like little clip of him making fun of himself via his mom is just brilliant.
If I lost something, I lost it. My mom would never help us find shit. Right? Normal parents help their fucking kids, right? Normal parents help. It's like, okay, did you lose something? Your keys? What was it in your pants? Well, what jeans? Were you wearing jeans? Well, let's look for those jeans. That's how you fucking help Your kids find shit, not my mom. If I lost something, I can guarantee my mom's right behind me fucking with me. Right? She enjoys that shit. If I'm looking under the couch, I guarantee my mom's right behind me like, oh, what? Now I gotta ask my mom for help. That's the worst mistake I can make. Mom, I'm late for work. Do you know where my keys are? Joseph, did you just ask me where your keys are? Isn't that a stupid question? That is a stupid question, Joseph. Excuse me, person that does not drive my car. Do you know where my keys are? That is stupid, Joseph. Why don't you ask me where my keys are? I'll know the answer to that. Go ahead, Joseph, ask me. Come on, ask me right now. Mom, do you know where your keys are? Of course I do. Of course I do, Joseph. I know where my keys are all the time. You know why, Joseph? Because I put them in the same place that I always put my keys. I hang them over here, oh, on this wooden plaque that says keys.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like, and maybe I'm speaking out of turn here because I'm not the child of immigrant parents, but I just feel like it's hacky to do these, like, my parent has an accent jokes. I don't know. I just feel like a lot of comics do it.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, it's an old trope, but I think, I mean, I would argue that so is hosting the Oscars and the Golden Globes. Like the comedy is very sticky and it's, you know what I mean? It's, and I think there's something about agreeing to something being humorous, right? You're making a joke and I'm going to go, ah, ha, ha, that's funny. And that's the contract.
Yes. And I think to that point, like, his comedy's not for me, but like watching that, I can see like, oh, I can see like why he has an audience, especially for people who are like, that's my mom. Oh my
exactly.
God.
Exactly. That's like, and like, I don't know many Asian comedians. There aren't a bunch of them. You know, Ali Wong is the one that can pops to my head immediately. I'm sure people will be like, there are a bunch of them, Delon Shaw.
Yeah.
But like,
but he is pretty big.
But he's Filipino. He's like, you know, speaking to a specific audience. So
this is not necessarily about his comedy, but like, damn, the beard can really change how you look. That looks like a totally different person, right? Because he was clean shaven in that clip. I was like, who is that man? I'm so used to now, again, used to, I've only seen him because of this Golden Globes thing, but he has a little bit of stubble and just the baby face. The beard fishing is real. The beard just make you look like a whole different person.
Listen, I love a man with a bald head and a beard. Give it to me.
So at the top of 2024, Joe Coy hosted the Golden Globes and totally bombed. He had a number of jokes that really did not pass the sniff test. He had a joke about Taylor Swift that said, the big difference between the Golden Globes and the NFL, on the Golden Globes, we have fewer camera shots of Taylor Swift. Now, that is one white woman you are not allowed to make jokes about.
Evidently, because I don't understand why the joke was bad. Why was the joke bad? Because she made a face?
No, you know what it was? It's just kind of like, it just is like hacky. It's hacky. Like, yes, there are, you know, when Taylor Swift is dating a football player and she's been going to his games and at the games, they've been panning the camera to her. It's just like, okay, it's just not funny. And I don't think it's enough to get offended over. I just feel more like if you're going to say something about Taylor Swift, it has to be super funny because her fans are so fucking rabid. They will come after you. It's like, don't say anything about her at all or make a joke that's so funny. And actually, my friend Nasser, we were in the group chat talking about this, and his pitch was, Taylor Swift is here tonight. Taylor, you are such a beautiful and talented musician. Why am I saying this? Because I don't want your fans to force me into the witness protection program. Like,
that's good. That's good.
A joke about the fact that like her fans are very rabid.
Right.
But I think it plays
because it's undeniable and objective and you're not poking at her.
Yes. And the thing about Taylor and her fans is that she often talks about the fact that like she gets all this hate for who she's dating and it's sexist and da da da. She is not wrong, But everybody, like, you know, everybody gets joke poked fun at about who they're dating. But it just like reconfirms for her. She's like, they're always picking on me and it's sexist.
Oh,
and
then he does the thing. Yeah.
It just does the thing that she claims everybody does this to me. And it's like, bruh, you walked right into that one. Like,
you're
just
not wrong.
Don't even
you're not
mention
wrong.
Her.
Right.
He also made a joke about Barbie's boobs. He said something about Oppenheimer, and he's like, Oppenheimer is about, you know, the guy building the bomb, and then Barbie is about a plastic doll with big boobies. And it was just like, sir, like, whatever you think about the Barbie movie, to reduce it to a movie about boobs, it just wasn't funny. And also, like, that's just not what the movie is about. And he was so defensive when it didn't work.
The key moment in Barbie is when she goes from perfect beauty to bad breath, cellulite, and flat feet. Or what casting directors call character actor. Some I wrote, some other people wrote. Robert De Niro's here. Yo, I got the gig 10 days ago. You want a perfect monologue? Yo, shut up. You're kidding me, right? Slow down. I wrote some of these and they're the ones you're laughing at. Look.
Here's what I'll give you. Like, it's one thing to bomb and it's one thing to not have a joke land. It's another thing to get defensive and like start kind of heckling the audience almost, right? Like,
oh,
that,
yeah.
That was really cringy. I was like, oh no, now you've made it very uncomfortable, right?
Oh, it's already. Yeah. And you're totally right, because when I watched it, I was like, it sounded like people were laughing, and maybe it was nervous laughter. But to me, even though I didn't like the jokes, I was like, it sounds like people are laughing. But he got so defensive, and he's like, some of these I wrote, some other people wrote. I got this gig 10 days ago. You want a perfect monologue? Yo, shut up. He's telling people in the audience to shut up.
I know. Listen, here's what I'll say. Some I wrote, some other people wrote, gotta laugh. Because that's a joke. It is throwing the writers under the bus, right?
Yes.
That's a joke. But the other part of it, like, shut up. Like, what do you expect? I got this gig 10 days ago. Like, that took it too far. It's one thing to, like, make a joke. I mean, albeit a bad joke. But, like, it was still a fucking joke. You know, that,
okay,
that
my, I could my take. My pitch when the joke bombed was to say, sorry, I spent the strike smoking weed instead of writing jokes. I'm a little rusty.
Yeah.
I love a joke that's topical and self-deprecating. And I think a place like the Golden Globes is the perfect place to do it.
Yes.
You're in a room full of, everyone's drunk. You're in a room full of celebrities. It's everyone's there to have a good time. And it doesn't feel as high pressure as the Oscars, for example. And so if a joke doesn't land, being able to laugh at, like, we're all friends here, I think is the way to go, versus you guys aren't good enough and I only got this job 10 days ago. 10 days is plenty of time to write a 10-minute monologue. You can write one joke a day.
Well, and listen, I haven't been in writers' rooms, and you have been in plenty of them, right?
Yeah, and I've worked on a number, like, of award shows.
Yes, you have. She has that WGA quartz, okay, with the health insurance to prove it. So, like, I'm speaking out of turn a little bit, but, like, I think the pressure cooker of needing to write something in 10 days when you don't host, like, he's a stand-up. Like, stand-ups, like, they go to a little club, they work out some material, they see what sticks and what works. This is like, no, we're writing a show and go, you know? So it's a different medium for him, not to give him any kind of pass.
Yeah.
Like, it was bad, no, it was bad.
I think that that's fair. Here's the thing. Because I've worked on a number of award shows, I know that you have the option to bring writers with you. So that's how I got to write for Tracy for Black Girls Rock. Tracy said, I want Francesca to write for me. So he definitely probably had the option to bring somebody in there. There's also a world in which you take some of your existing material and you see if you can kind of, like, retroactively...
That's smart.
What could he could have done a whole bit about what his mom thought of all the nominees. He could say, Mom, I'm hosting the Golden Globes. And she's like,
Fran should have wrote for you, Joe Coy.
Hello.
Sorry.
She's a writer. Mom, I'm hosting the Golden Globes. Oh, who is, you know, do the accent. And maybe she doesn't know who certain people are. Maybe she's getting people's names wrong, or he's
I'm buying all of this for Francesca.
come on. He's explaining to her what the movies are about, or he's asking her, do you know?
Yeah. Oh, what? God. Like a recap of all of the movies. That's so smart.
That would have been
so smart.
And again, easy, right? He knows what low-hanging works with fruit. To your point about you spend years developing this material, he knows what mom jokes are really funny. So stick those funny mom jokes in the monologue and put them in there, you know? Were you surprised by how defensive he was? Because again, I was not familiar with him, and it seems like you know his material. Does it seem in character based on what you've gleaned from his stand-up?
Listen, I was surprised by the defensive period because it was just awkward. And as somebody who, like, I haven't seen him do any crowd work. I haven't seen him, like, really talk to an audience before. Like the idea that he was like responding to an audience, and I've seen comedians do that before where they go after the joke, they go, oh, really? You're going to boo at that? Or you're going to awe at that?
And then
they make another joke on top of it, right? So they use that. But they also probably know from past experience that like that gets that kind of reaction from an audience.
Exactly. So. It's planned.
Yeah.
And to your point, when that happens, there's always a joke right after it. So
a salve. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And this one, it really seemed like his feelings really were hurt because he kept to tell the audience to shut up.
Ooh, shut up. And then like, and then go, and mouth was dry. Ooh, you know that mouth's dry. You know when it's like, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Ooh, it was dry. If you look back at that tape, I was like, I'm nervous for you. Everyone was uncomfortable for him too.
Yeah.
What did you think of the apology tour? So he went on GMA, Good Morning America, to talk to some of the hosts about it. But they kind of couch it like he's just reflecting on his experience. But it was like a straight up, like, sad apology.
It was weird. He seems so sad and depressed. And the hosts are like, we're super excited. We've got Joe Coy here. You just hosted the Golden Globes. We loved it. And he's like, you know, it was.
Wait, quote, it was a tough room. And it was a hard job. I'm not going to lie. Getting that gig and then having the amount of time that we had to prepare was a crash course. It was literally that sad.
Yeah, it was really, really sad. It was like on his webcam, like, sir, you can go to the studio and have some real lighting.
And it was
moving.
I was like, who's holding that camera?
It was really weird. And he tried to apologize for the Taylor Swift joke, but he didn't really. He was like, it was flat and it was weird. And, you know, the other thing he did is that he did a whole photo shoot with the LA Times and he's wearing this beanie. I call this the pensive apology beanie. Like,
I hate you. I hate you so much.
He's like, I'm just like you, you know, like when I'm not in my suit and tie, I'm wearing a beanie and I'm just.
And I'm looking to the right.
And the picture's in black and white. Like, come the fuck on. It says, the reaction to the Barbie joke, the things that are being said. It's just like, man, I don't think you understand who I am as a person. You know what I mean? Because if you've ever seen me, you'll see just how much I praise and shine light on women, from my ex-wife to my mom.
This doesn't say much, sir.
What does your ex-wife have to... What? I have a mom and my ex-wife. Delon, was this an apology? Did it work?
I mean,
and what is your
fix? No, this was not an apology. It was an apology, but I also, like, I don't think he had much to apologize for in that I think he got what was coming to him. He got the recompense, meaning that he bombed. He bombed. We're talking about how he bombed. And so I think that is kind of cause and effect of it all. Do you think he needed to apologize for something?
No, I think, listen, I agree with you. I think he bombed. It is a hard job. You're correct. Hosting is a skill. Oof. I think a lot of people that are just naturally funny or they're a comedian or they're an actor, you're in your lane. And I think a lot of people assume hosting, I could do that. It's just reading a teleprompter. It's just throwing from one person to another, but it's really not. You got to be able to segue between jokes. You have to be able to read the room. You have to be able to read the teleprompter. You have to also, like, know how to pivot. Sometimes they're like live editing the teleprompter in real time. It's just, you have to have so many different gears going at once. That said, I think most people at this point know that award shows are going to have hacky jokes.
It's par for the course.
It's par for the course. You don't watch an award show. It's very rare you watch and you go, God damn, that host was hilarious. Like, you know, you're like, oh, this part was funny. But I think everyone just kind of assumes that it's not going to be. And again, I've written for award shows. I say this as somebody that like has done this before. Most people assume, I think, that some of the jokes are going to be PG. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They need to appeal to a wide audience. You're not going to get raunchy. You're not doing any hard-hitting, hard jokes at an award show. So I kind of feel like he just had said nothing. Because the news cycle moves so fast that, like, in a few days, no one's talking about the Golden Globes. The Oscar nominations are coming out. The Emmys are coming out.
Right.
Everyone's moved on. But by doing like the apology tour, it's like you're drawing it out and you're making more people go watch the monologue and see how bad it is. Just let people forget about it. Let people move on.
Well, and along those same lines, do you have a fix for like how it should have gone?
I guess, again, I think I think he should have said nothing. But if he was going to say anything, I think he should have apologized to the writers. I think he should have come out and said, you know, I got defensive. Just again, kind of what you talked about in terms of the formula. Just be honest. I got defensive. It was a hard job. If I'm being honest, I took this job and I was excited about it. And then I realized I was a little in over my head. And instead of admitting it, I got defensive. And then I did the worst thing. I threw my writers under the bus who worked really, really hard. And they presented a lot of great material. And the reality is, maybe I just wasn't the right person for the job. You know, like, just be honest.
She's a writer, bitch. That honestly, though, even what you just said, the thing is, you can't fault him if he says something like that because it's very vulnerable.
He admits
what he did wrong or the perceived harm, right? Mm-hmm. And he says and doles it out to who he thinks could feel harmed, and then he goes, this is what I would have done to change it, here's what I should have done, or something like that. Right, my thing is, like, I thought about the money he was paid, you know,
hello,
because with 10 days, you know, he was paid good money. And yes. Gerard Carmichael, the comedian who hosted last year, I think in his speech, in his like opening monologue, he was like, oh no, they paid me $500,000. So that's why I said yes.
And you know, so, people said that his wasn't great either. People didn't love him hosting.
They sure didn't, but he's $500,000 richer. Yeah. I would have taken $500,000 and I would have been up a creek, not knowing what to say.
But I think to Gerard's credit, people criticized him and he didn't say anything about it. And I think this is a thing that I think a lot of comedians need to get over. Your job is to be funny. And if you're not funny, it's not the audience's fault. It's your fault. You have one job. You're not doing brain surgery. You're not doing rocket science. You're making jokes. And if the jokes fall flat, they fall flat. And to your point about, you know, repairing the harm, I would have taken it a step further and shouted out Margot Robbie and Greta Gerwig about the Barbie movie. You know, I tried to make a joke and in hindsight, I realized that the joke reduced, you know, the importance of a movie that really made a lot of women feel seen. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, and that started a conversation that we need to be having. Right. Totally.
Yeah. And not that it's an excuse, but to me, it felt like he hadn't seen the Barbie movie. And so even if he just acknowledged that, he was like, look, I gotta keep it real with you. I ain't seen the Barbie movie. So
I can accept that. I could totally accept that.
Again, it's not an excuse. It's just like, this is just what it is. I hadn't seen the movie. I made this joke, and now that I know what the movie is about, I'm like, yo, I fucked up. Because I really thought it was about boobs, and it's not. You know what I mean? Again, self-deprecating. Make fun of yourself, right?
Because it's vulnerable. That's the charm I wear on my neck is self-deprecation. Works every time, Joe. Works every
time. And then in the write a check arena, you know what would have worked? He could have said, and Taylor Swift, I really fucked up. That's why I'm buying out a theater so people can watch the Eras tour that haven't seen it. I know a lot of Swifties out there couldn't make it to the theater, but they weren't able to go to the concert. And so if you live in Los Angeles, come on down to the AMC, whatever, and see the Eras tour on me.
Girl, no. Absolutely. No, no one wants to see that. Let me stop. Let me stop before the Swifty come for me.
They will come for you. They yes. love that movie. They love
Go
that
Eros,
movie.
Go Eros. Yes, girl.
You're not even saying the name right.
Okay. I don't even know. Okay, wait. So moving on to our next apology. It comes from the crew members of SpiceJet Airlines. So here's the headline. Man trapped in airplane bathroom nearly entire flight receives napkin scrawled apology from cabin crew. So during a 45-minute flight from Mumbai to Bengaluru, a passenger went to the bathroom and then couldn't get out. He was trapped inside the bathroom for the entire flight. Talk about spicy, Jet. Okay. Sir, what kind of spices was in here? Oh my God, he was in the dookie shoot, girl. Okay. Sidebar, why do we call it dookie? Why do we ever call it dookie? I don't understand that.
Speak for yourself. I don't say dookie.
Okay, I say dookie. Well, he was in there. You know, he was in there letting that gas out. Okay. That's why he got stuck in there, because he didn't want to come out and have everybody smell it.
Oh my God, that poor bathroom was sealed tight like an Instapot. I know that place smelled foul. Oh my God.
So after fighting for his life in that little toilet, the flight attendants eventually got a napkin and slipped it under the bathroom door with this apology scrawled on it. Sir, we tried our best to open the door. However, we could not open. Do not panic. We are landing in a few minutes. Please close the commode lid and sit on it and secure yourself. As soon as the main cabin door is open, an engineer will come. Do not panic. Now, this is beyond hilarious. This is beyond hilarious, but could have gone left real fast. What if the pilot had actually like got stuck in there, you know?
Yeah, y'all would have been in trouble trying to land that plane.
I mean, there's a co-pilot, so there's always two pilots, right?
Oh, okay, that makes like, sense.
But I mean, you're still down one. If there's supposed to be two in there, you down one ain't good.
Yeah, I think it is very, very dangerous. And I'm not claustrophobic. Like, I'm okay in small spaces. But if that man had been claustrophobic, you can start having a panic attack and induce a heart attack. He could have died in there.
Not you knowing some medicine. Damn. Wait. Have you ever had an MRI, like a full body MRI?
Yes, I have.
That shit is scary.
You know, again, not scary to me, but really? As someone that watched The Sopranos, spoiler alert, Tony gets an MRI and he starts having a panic attack in there. I know.
Think about
really
all those people he put in the coffins.
Well, I think, again, just some people being in small spaces makes them feel uncomfortable, and yeah, the stress of that can really have physical consequences on your body. And so again, 45 minutes is not that long to be trapped in a bathroom, but I disagree.
Well,
I mean, it wasn't like an international flight. Like, that would have been some shit, pun intended. Oh my God. Right?
But also literally, quite literally. But here's the thing, even being stuck in there on a plane, not being able to see what's happening outside is the scary part to me. Like, you know, at least I can open the window, I can get information from the flight attendants, I hear the announcements, right? But being stuck in the bathroom, not knowing why you're stuck in the bathroom, that would like freak me the fuck out.
Yeah. What do you think about this apology? Did it work?
No, I am so mad at them for this fucking apology. Not a slip. I mean, you know, she probably didn't want to panic the passengers, so she didn't like yell it through the door, or maybe he couldn't hear them.
Okay.
But I was like, this is not an apology. This is just strap yourself into the best of your ability. I hope you're okay. That's what that was. Did this feel like an apology to you?
No, I agree. It's very strange that they went this route. For me, I thought the same thing. I was like, what kind of door is it that they had to put a note under the door instead of just talking to him? Like, did he need a note? I'm sure he knew he was trapped inside the bathroom. Like, you're not telling me anything new here.
Right, right.
I think they need to give that man some buddy passes or some free miles. He needs to be able to have some flights taken care of.
I said he free flights for a year. A year.
I don't know about a year. I don't know about a year.
Really?
You know, the other thing I thought of, what about everybody else on the plane that couldn't use the bathroom for 45 minutes?
Yo,
what
you do know somebody they shit get? They pants. Shit their
what
pants.
What do they get?
Mm-mm. Well, listen, and don't let it be somebody like me who has like never been to India and like tearing up some Indian food, because you know, girl,
No.
My stomach would have been a wreck.
No. You don't take chances with what you're eating before you get on a flight. Keep it light. Mm. Keep it light.
But I love some Indian food, though.
Give me some Navataran korma. And give
you
me some
better, pan- you better speak it. You better say it to me.
And give me some garlic naan.
Oh, garlic naan. Fuck what you heard. Ooh, garlic naan.
The breath is kicking, but it's
so is that booty hole.
It's worth
coming out. You know it comes out spicy, just like it went down, girl.
It's worth every single bite.
It really is.
But do not do that before. Worth every bite. Don't do it before a flight. All right. So our last apology is from the hosts of this very podcast. That is correct. This episode's final apology is from Delon and I. So a few weeks ago, we did an episode on Lisa Frank, and in it, we covered the controversy surrounding Lisa Frank Inc.'s collaboration with Hotels.com, and folks pointing out that it felt eerily similar to artist Amina Mucchiolo's apartment. But in the episode, we made the mistake of misgendering Amina, who uses they, them pronouns.
Now, this is where apologies usually go left, because folks usually focus on their intentions rather than the result of their actions. But the reality is, despite our intentions, misgendering Amina was not only disrespectful to them, but it also hurt some of our trans and non-binary audience members. And for that, we are sincerely sorry. We've also updated the show notes on our Lisa Frank episode with an addendum about Amina's correct pronouns.
I also want to add that since I wrote the episode and I'm mutuals with Amina on IG, I felt extra responsible for this mistake. So I reached out to Amina directly to apologize via DM. And we also donated to their mutual aid fund. And I want to say, first and foremost, thank you to Amina for hearing me and also for giving me the okay to share this on the podcast, because I wanted to be respectful of them. And also a thank you to everyone that sent us DMs and comments about this. It is not easy to call out people that you respect and you enjoy, and I get that 100%.
Friend, and when you mentioned that you wanted to talk about it on the pod, I thought it was just such a great idea. I'm not trying to give you any cookies, but like, yo, practice what you preach, though. Walk the walk. You know what I mean?
Yes, thank you for saying that. I thought it was actually a really great opportunity too. Look, I am far from perfect, and while I've made a lot of content about people's missteps, I'm not above getting it wrong myself. And I'm such a huge fan of Amina's work. The last thing I want to do is hurt them. And I felt like this was a really easy fix and an opportunity to show people that it's not going to kill you to apologize. Like, nothing's going to happen. You don't look
No, your heart's still beating.
I'm absolutely fine. And if people can learn from us on the pod and say like, oh, wow, they were able to do that and it wasn't a big deal, then like, hopefully more people will feel confident and comfortable apologizing when they inevitably screw up, because we're human.
Yes, listen, my sister talked about this on the pod before, rupture and repair, rupture and repair. There was a rupture and we're just doing that, the reparations, as it were. Yeah. We're repairing it. So now that we've reviewed all of the apologies, including some of our own personals, it's time for everyone's favorite segment, the glow up, where we give props to those who turn themselves around without our help. But first, as usual, we need to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And we're back. Fran, do you want to give your glow up first?
Yeah, my glow up goes to Kelly Rowland. Miss Mama is out here acting.
What? Kelly Are you serious?
Rowland, yes, Kelly Rowland has been in a number of movies. She's in a new Tyler Perry movie, which, you know, she needs a check. She gonna get a check. But she was in like a Halloween movie on Netflix. And she's been in a number of like Hallmark movies and Lifetime movies, a lot of like holiday rom-coms. And I have to say, like, she's, the girl is beautiful. The camera.
She's stunning.
The camera.
She got that Francesca skin. Okay.
Okay. Thank you. The camera loves her. I'm surprised she didn't go into acting sooner, but I really love this for her. And I'm of the mind.
You're surprised she didn't go into acting sooner? Yeah. I mean, is she acting?
No, I mean, she's not giving you Meryl Streep or anything like she's doing Christmas movies and stuff. But I just mean in the sense that, like, I am really inspired by creatives of any background that say, I've tried this thing and I haven't had the results that I wanted, so I'm going to try a different thing. I have pivoted so many times in my career. I was a graphic designer. Then I was doing YouTube videos. Then I was, you know, I was doing stand-up. Then I left and you just got to say, is this working? I'm going to try something else. I like Kelly Rowland's music, but I can assume that maybe she has not reached the levels of success that she wants. And so she's like, let me try something else. And I think she's figured out where her strengths are. She's staying in this like rom-com space, which I think is very cute for her. And again, she looks great. And I'm here for Kelly Rowland the thespian.
Yo, I didn't even know she was acting like that. I don't think I've ever seen her in a film or like even thought about that. No offense, Kelly, I love your music. But like, I do hear you on the pivot, right? Why not? Especially when you're able to. She's able to pick up the phone and be like, hey, can I do a movie? Because she has a name, right? May we all reach that level of status as artists.
Claim
to be able to pick up a phone and just get some work, okay? Mm-hmm. So I'm not mad at her for that. And now that we're talking about it, she can kind of live in that Aaliyah space. Remember when Aaliyah did like the vampire movie or the one she did with Jet Li? She was I forget
Romeo
what that
must,
movie was.
Romeo Must Die.
Romeo Must Die. That was on I was in an Airbnb and that was playing. I watched that whole damn thing.
Well, you know, Aaliyah was supposed to be in The Matrix before she passed away.
Jada Pinkett took the part, didn't she? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what? I could see, I think you made a great comparison. I could definitely see Kelly in an action movie or like a heist movie. You know, she's like the sexy bank teller that's also like helping her boyfriend steal money.
Well, because it requires looks. That requires you to like look and mm-hmm. be in, like look shocked, look angry. You know, be in a pose. You know what I mean?
Yes. And also she can wear like a cat suit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Leather with her shoulders out and just
have like a over the shoulder one liner. You know, she kind of lives in that Zoe Kravitz space too. Mm-hmm. Zoe Kravitz, I haven't seen Zoe Kravitz do like a acting role, like a Meryl role. She does like a light kind of, you know,
keep it light and cute. Yeah. And you know? Also there's something about Kelly Rowland and the Bob. The Bob is,
yes, her look. You know,
the Bob, I think, needs to be in a heist movie. It's just something about it feels.
That, wait, that's the name of her heist movie, The Bob.
The Bob.
Amazing.
Oh, my God. All right, Delon, what's your glow up this week?
So my glow up is actually adjacent to this. My glow up is going to the movies. I know that people are still going to the movies, but AMC, I've said this before probably on the pod, I think AMC and a lot of movie theaters have been struggling over the years, just post-pandemic, even pre-pandemic, they were struggling. But because of streaming, I personally hadn't really gone to the movies a bunch. I think I definitely saw Oppenheimer. I definitely saw Avatar last year. But those were the movies that I saw in the... She hates it. Fran hates it.
Those movies are 3 hours long. I was not seeing either of
those. Probably why I didn't go back to see any other ones. But I recently saw American Fiction starring Jeffrey Wright. Tracee Ellis Ross is in there.
And Cord Jefferson wrote and directed it. And Cord and I shared an office at Nightly Show, my first TV writing job. Talk about a glow up.
I don't know if you're listening. Oh, huge glow up, Cord. Huge glow up. You fine as hell, Cord. But you also are so good. This script is just so fucking great. And to my glow up, it just made me want to go to the movies. I was like, yo, if we're telling stories like this that are interesting, that have me thinking, that have me laughing, that are commenting on my experience and culture, I am fucking there. So I went and saw that movie, and then I went and saw Poor Things with Emma Stone.
Oh, I heard that was amazing.
You know what? Not a huge Emma Stone fan. She was fucking great in it. She was great.
Okay. It's a good film. I heard it was really good.
Mark Ruffalo completely understood the assignment. As an actor, I could not have read the script and done what he did. It's so funny. It's so interesting.
He's fine, too.
He's so fucking good.
He's fine. And he has good politics. He always on Twitter saying something like, you know, again, like, he's a white dude, so the bar is low, but he impresses me. I like him.
Listen, you would catch me in them sheets, okay? You would catch my ass.
Rough me up, Ruffalo.
Get like a bag of Ruffles, okay?
Can't just have one bite.
Gotta lick them fingers. Yo, we just the innuendo so on this podcast.
The thirst on this podcast is otherworldly.
Ridiculous. And on that note, let's wrap it up.
So friends, that is the end of this week's episode. Exciting news. We have a YouTube channel. Please check it out. YouTube.com/FixItPod, where you can watch video of our episodes if you want to see our lovely faces. We also would love to hear from you. What is your favorite apology song? Or maybe you would like to suggest a TV show, a celeb, or a brand that we should fix in a future episode? Hit us up on Instagram @FixItPod or email us letmefixitpod@gmail.com.
And as always, friends, if you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to give us a rating on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Music, or your favorite podcast app or YouTube, you know? Leave a comment. Okay. This was Let Me Fix It. No, let me. Just let me.
And also tell the class who you are. Have you done this before?
Ready? I'm DeLon.
And I'm Francesca.
And this was Let Me Fix It.
Pew, 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 pew.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has 2 limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go Facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code MOM.